All righty, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, and you're live.
And we are live December 13th, 2018 on United Public Radio Network. Michael Angley live. And I'm going to say this. It was just last week we talked about these gunmen, these terrorists in the UK and in France and other places, how these guys are on the watch, terror watch list. They're under surveillance. They're known to the police. Many of them have extensive police records. And here you go. Again, the suspect gunman in France had a long police record. He was on the terrorist watch list. He was known to police as a terrorist. He was under surveillance, but they failed. They failed in stopping him from committing murder, from killing people in a little Christmas village. So they're buying a little Christmas stuff. And then here comes this horrible maniac who's pushing his horrible ideals, and whatever he thinks, whatever motivates him to pull that trigger and go kill innocent people, whatever monster that does that, the police knew about it. They failed. They failed those victims and those victims' families. And then it's going to happen again and again and again and again. And the more you say, oh, we need open borders, we need to let people in no matter who or what or where, I'm going to say, there are people that are working contrary to the life that you want, the peacefulness, the decent life that you want, the safety that you want, and these are terrorists, you know? So we've got a problem with this. France has a problem with this. The UK has a problem with this. Over there, more than the United States of America, but we do. You know, we've got homegrown terrorists that are probably just as bad. And then there are signals. There are red flags. There are things that happen that go unreported. People look the other way, or they don't want to get involved, and then bang, they kill a bunch of people. And they're going to blame the gun. Okay, blame the gun. What about France, where guns are illegal? You going to blame the gun? He had illegal guns. So any criminal that's going to take a gun and kill people or hurt people, that is an act of crime. So the legal gun owners out there, the people who use it for hunting or for target or for safety reasons, you want to protect yourself, you know? Hey, man, in some places it takes 45 minutes to for an hour to get a cop at your house, you know? You'll wait that long? If someone's trying to hurt you, are you going to pull out a 12-gauge shotgun stuck in their face and say, yeah, get out of town, right? This is the deal. The people that scream to ban guns, they don't care about any of this stuff. They don't care about terrorist attacks. They don't even think about it. They don't care about the thousands of shootings in the crap neighborhoods across the United States of America where people get killed every day. Every day they put people on the earth every day in these neighborhoods. Those people are being killed with illegal guns. And then they don't talk about that. You didn't hear any president talk about that. Trump talked about it. And now you don't hear him say much anymore because he's too busy dodging all this other crap, you know, and his lawyer Cohen going to jail for 3 years. 3 years. And he's going to be in summer camp for 3 years, you know, where he'll meet other scumbag lawyers like himself and other politicians and make more deals behind bars and out. That's what happens with these people, you know? And then, yeah, Trump's a liar. I think we all know that. I don't think that anybody assumed that he wasn't, right? And then the whole Stormy Daniels thing. Now she has to pay, the judge ordered her to pay $293,000. For Trump's legal fees and for other stuff. And, you know, really funny because it was her greed that led her on this road. Then she met the porn lawyer, and then he took her on a whole different path, and then he profited, and all of a sudden now you see what happened to him, that he got called out, domestic abuse, beating women in the face and all that other stuff, breaking some chick's face, and the whole thing. The guy's a seedy, nasty, greasy dirtbag, right? You know how I say, in fact, we talk about this all the time on the show, you know, about how you want to be in life versus how what things can happen to you and get sucked into and whatever. And, you know, life is full of choices. Sometimes people make good ones, bad ones, and that type of thing. But there are people out there that prey on others. They're predators. And then these are evil people. I designate them as evil. It's an easy word, maybe a primitive word, but it's an easy word to say evil, because everything that encompasses evil are these people. So you look, you can find them everywhere. You find them in all powerful positions, right? Because they like to use and abuse and hurt other people. And then, you know, the whole Stormy Daniels thing, basically, yeah, I guess it's easy to say that Trump paid off to have this whatever she is, I guess a prostitute, and then or whatever she was, whatever their relationship was, you know, 15 years ago, he paid hush money, but he lied about it. And that's important. So, you know what? That to me is more important than paying off some person, you know, they had a non-disclosure agreement, right? Ironclad. We're talking about Donald Trump, big business guy, lots of lawyers. He's got lawyers dangling around him like you'd have ornaments dangling on your Christmas tree, you know? And that's the kind of person he lives in that world. And man, I don't say positive things about Trump. I'll say positive things about, you know, if things good things are happening within the country, if the morale is going up, and then you know, we're back on track financially and that type of thing, I'm happy to give credit where credit's due. But I don't like the guy as what he is, you know what I mean? And I've known about Trump's antics for many, many, many years, you know, and I'm not full of liberal outrage, and I'm not full of all kinds of hate and whatever. I just call it like I see it, and I know that whole swamp has rats, all of them, you know, and they're all the same to me. To me, I don't look at the situation like it's a push and pull. I look at the situation like the whole thing is infected and gone bad, you know, and if you want to fix a system, you have to first recognize what the system is and then work for those goals. So I'm going to say this. They don't want to fix because they're happy the way the system runs. The system relies on them. They rely on the Hillarys and the Trumps and the Bushes and all these people, you know? They rely on them. And they rely on you to be subservient to them and to allow these people to manipulate you, you know? So people sitting there watching the news, whatever news you watch, it's going to be one or the other, unless you really like to watch that lower end local news, and that's worthy. I'm not ever going to knock it, because, you know, if they go on and they just tell you the news and then they do their thing, they're A block, they're B block, they're C block, and they're off, that's much better than going on telling you what your opinion should be. And then when you get into CNN or Fox or MSNBC or any of those channels, they all focus on like guiding people's opinions and putting things in your brain and getting you heated. You know, if you watch MSNBC, they know how to drive that frantic liberal base and get them heated, where they motivate them to do whatever they want to do. It's manipulation, you know? They're meat puppets. They're sheeple. They're just following along. But you're not taking a step back and looking at the situation for what it is and how big it is, and what the machine really does, and how things cycle around. You got to notice that cycle. You got to look at it for what it is. Once you do, then you recognize that you can find some kind of freedom for yourself, because you know that you're not going to allow yourself to be controlled and manipulated on every level, on any level, right? That's freedom, you know, not being subservient to these slave masters, to the robber barons, to whatever you want to call them. And all the people who are in bed with them, where it's advantageous to them to take part in that power control over any society, no matter what country it is, right? Now, you're seeing a lot of social unrest, much of it driven by social media. Interestingly enough, much of that paid for by Russia or whomever, you know, to divide people, to make them crazy. So look at Europe, look at France. France just got through and is still going through all these protests. Now, Macron, their fearless leader, he's down to, 9%, 10% approval rating? 10%. Come on. So how about that? That's like saying zero, you know? And he's such an egomaniac and smug, and people have called him out in Mr. Richie Rich and not being in touch with the people, because he never was, right? So, and he's got a severe mommy problem too on top of that. And then here he is trying to make deals. He bent over backwards for these protesters, saying, sure, you know, we'll go back and we'll roll the tax back. This was mainly a huge protest against these environmental taxes that they applied for global warming, climate change, to their gas prices. And gas prices are already crazy in France. Crazy. Why do you think they drink so much wine? They're trying to buzz themselves out so they don't think about how high the gas prices are. So then you have people taking to the streets. You had the farmers turning out with all the raw manure last week, spraying all these buildings, you know, these political buildings with raw manure. I love that, you know. Then you had the yellow vest people. And then I don't love when they raid shops and rob people. I don't love when they commit acts of violence against people, no matter who they are, cops or what. I don't love the fact that they burn cars and they smash windows. Those are criminals. See, criminals. The people that engage in that act, if you are in a group of protesters and a couple of those protesters going off committing those acts, it takes away from all of your efforts to have any kind of real positive voice. So every protest should have integrity and be nonviolent. And then if the cops come, you just lie there. You don't throw a rock at their head. You lie down on the ground. You let them haul you away, and you know that you've done your piece, right? That's a protest. But so Macron backpedaled, and guess what? They didn't stop. And now you have tens of thousands. I think that there was, you know, 40, 50,000. They called over 80,000 cops out. But the line of the day was Macron saying that Donald Trump should stay out of France's business. You know why that's the line of the day? Because Macron was just talking all this smack about the United States and Trump and whatever. Blah, 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 Trump this and Trump that and the United States and whatever. Just doing it. And then here he is saying Trump shouldn't tweet about France. Well, guess what, Macron? We have free speech in this country, number one. And number two, we can certainly laugh at you and then feel sorrow for your people, because that's really what it was. It was him feeling sorrow for the people that basically they have no leadership. Their leadership is this weak sponge. And Macron didn't even make a statement about any of this violence until, a day and a half later. Then, on the heels of this, you have this terrorist attack. You have a guy who's geared up with ISIS, geared up to kill people, go and shoot innocent people shopping for Christmas. Innocent people. Then you have ISIS say, we're going to do it in New York City. We're going to do it whatever, to terrorize people. You notice that these terrorists never kill wealthy people. Never. Never. They don't go into those wealthy neighborhoods and start shooting places up. You know, ask yourself a question of why. Of why. So it's very interesting. And I'll tell you why after you think about it for a minute. It's very interesting to see this guy Macron like blame America. Because then he was like, oh, this is because of Donald Trump and, you know, getting people all upset about the climate change. So he's blaming these protests and all the stuff that happened around it on Trump, because Trump pulled out of this climate accord. And Trump said that it was a bad deal. That's all he pulled out. Everybody else pulled out too. But France tried to implement it and then charge people all this money and say you have to switch over to electric cars and all that other stuff. And electric cars, man, have a long way to go. You know, the batteries are more environmentally unfriendly than gasoline, than the lifetime of a car plugging out carbon from gas, you know? So think about that. If you're going to find a solution, the solution can't be worse than what the problem already is. You know, that doesn't make any sense. So my prayers go for people in France and people in the UK and people in Germany and people in Sweden, because your governments have failed to protect you. Your governments are telling you that we value these other people, even though we call them terrorists, they're under surveillance. So what does it cost? You know what? In the UK, they admitted that there's over 37,000 of these people that exist. 37,000 would-be terrorists. Terrorists, would-be terrorists, waiting to pounce on innocent people. And that to them is acceptable. Then they tell people you're not allowed to own a gun. You can't protect yourself. Well, the criminal, Mr. Criminal over there, they got a gun. They can buy a gun. There's no waiting list for them. There's no permit they have to wait for. There's no fee to pay to get a handgun license. Nothing. They go to some scumbag on the street they already know and say, hey, what do you got? Let me give them a 9mm, man. $50. $50. They can get guns on the street. They're dirty as hell. You know what a dirty gun is? A dirty gun is a stolen gun that was used in multiple crimes and is something that you don't ever want to even touch. But the criminals, they don't care. They don't care that the gun's illegal because they don't care about the law, because they're going to break the law anyway, so they don't care about that either. You know? And they'll get caught, maybe, hopefully. They'll get punished, hopefully, maybe. And they'll get sent up. You got truth in sentencing. So there's a federal incentive for states to keep people in jail up to their full sentence, or at least three quarters of it or more. It's called truth in sentencing. And it's been going on. And people can use it, prosecutors can use it anyway, to keep people in longer who are danger to society. Let me say, if there's a guy out there willing to take a gun and go shoot innocent people, we need to take that guy and lock him up forever. And you don't look back. You don't let them out. Because you know that they can't function in society. And I don't want to say, oh, well, you know, they need a couple of pills, they got some problem and whatever. I don't want to hear any of that. Because I'm tired of seeing these bodies. I'm tired of seeing these victims. What's the magic number? I want to hear. I want Trump to tell me. I want Macron to tell me. I want all these presidents, all these leaders, so-called leaders, tell me, what's the magic death number until you act, until you do something, until you take a stand? What's the actual death number? You know, what's an acceptable number? And what's the number that's not acceptable? I want to know what that number is, because I keep seeing victims pile up, women, children, men, everybody pile up from these terrorists and these horrible criminals. I see it happen every day. And then you're going to tell me he was a known terrorist who was on a watch list, who had an extensive violent record? Why is this guy walking on the street in France? And has obviously access to illegal guns, because criminals do. It does, you know, the criminals have a network like you wouldn't believe. They have the black market. They can get anything they want. Anything they want. You want a gun? In America, depending where you live, you got to go and get a permit and whatever. Jump through a whole bunch of fire hoops, fill out all your forms. Then you can own a gun. In some places, in the U.S., the cities that have the toughest gun laws have the most gun crime, you know? And that gun crime is with illegal guns. They just don't want people protecting themselves. They take away these components so you can't protect yourself, and then you get victimized, you know? How does that work? How does that work that the government allows you to get victimized? And they're telling you you can't protect yourself. So in Sweden, they tell people they can't protect themselves. And the authorities say they're overwhelmed, they can't do anything about it. You know, they're reporting, investigating 12% of the cases in Sweden for rape. 12%. They said they don't have the manpower to investigate anything more than that. So there are these young girls that are getting raped, and they're kind of just sitting there waiting for justice. It's not going to happen. So this is a growing problem. It's an infestation. It's a virus. And it's wildfire stage. It's growing out of control, right? At some point, people have to stand up and be leaders, you know, and be tough about it. You don't have to be nice either. You don't have to be nice, because you're dealing with people that don't respond to that. You're dealing with criminals. You don't have to be nice. You just have to put them in their place. You lock them up. You make sure they can't hurt people. It's that simple, right? So it kills me when I see that, oh, here's another attack in France or another attack in the UK or here, even in the US, and these people were off the wall. Either they were a terrorist or associated, or the people knew, but they were being followed. How many attacks did we see? in the United States of America, where the FBI came out after, oh, yeah, we were following them. We had a line on them, but we had complaints about them, whatever, you know. So these are all times that law enforcement has failed. And they're there to serve you. They're not there to fail. They're there to help you, you know. So there's a big problem there on all levels in law enforcement. You know, you got the good, you got the bad, you got the ugly. And then everybody else falls in between. And if you want some kind of justice, from the time that an incident happened all the way through, you have to nurture it and foster it. And then you have to be your own justice. You know what I mean? And I feel for people that can't even defend themselves. You know, are you walking unsuspecting? That could be anybody, anytime, any market, anywhere. Walking with your kids, buying some stuff for Christmas, and some lunatic goes off and then destroys you, kills you, kills your family, wounds all these other people, scares the crap off anybody else to push their ideology, their twisted message of whatever they think. Whatever they think that Islam is what they're trying to push. Whatever they use Islam as to twist it and turn it into their crazy ideology that they're trying to push, that personal message that they're trying to push, it really has nothing to do with the roots of all this stuff. We can go back through history, but it doesn't matter because those people will never listen to that because they've already been brainwashed and manipulated to the point where they think that they're on some kind of mission. And these people are ticking time bombs and they're dangerous to anybody and anybody around them. They need to be turned in by people around them. So, but this guy was under surveillance, right? It turns out that he had better surveillance on the cops. They said they reported afterwards that he knew where they were all the time. He had better surveillance. They should have hired the guy. You know, he did a better job. So Macron telling the U.S. to butt out? No, we're not going to butt out. Because we can have the sympathy for those victims because of not just a failing government, but the act itself, and the very thing that you have people in the midst that you have embraced and brought them in and sang songs for them, and now they've been turning on you for quite some time and wiping out lots of people all along the way, where these terrorist attacks have become part of the natural landscape and people are getting used to it, you know? So. At some point, you got to turn the screw. And then at some point, you got to stop it all from happening. And then, hey, man, look at Trump. People call him every name in the book. He's a racist. He's this. He's that. You know, I still haven't seen evidence of racist. You know, I have friends who are black who are like, are you kidding? Are you kidding? And I feel like I'm missing something. You know? And then, granted, I'm not a person of color per se, but I can have empathy, you know what I mean? And I've seen tons of stuff that I would call racist. You know, I think Trump is a clown and kind of a buffoon. You know, he is that guy. But this is the same guy who, when Jesse Jackson, who is a big civil rights leader, so-called, went to Trump back in the day and said, you know, I mean, he led a group of black people and he said, we want a voice on Wall Street. We need an effective presence on Wall Street. Trump gave him an office. He donated money for their cause, and he attended their meetings. Does that sound like a freaking racist to you? Does that sound like somebody who hates black people? Does that somebody who actually, you know, had... You know what? I think this is the deal with Trump. He's a very insecure guy, and I think even when he does something good, he thinks in his mind that people don't think it's good, you know, no matter what it is. He could do all this great stuff. You know, I'm not saying he does. I'm saying he could. He could do great stuff. But nobody's going to think that he does anything great because they freaking just love to hate him. They love to hate him. People also love to hate Hillary, you know, at Bush's funeral. The pictures that I liked, I'll tell you this, man. When Barack Obama and Michelle Obama shook Trump's hand, I liked that. There was a lot of class that had to do with that. Maybe I'm a fool. Maybe I'm a fool, but I liked it. And I think it's important, that type of thing. I mean, they talk a lot of trash about each other behind the closed doors and whatever, out in the open, you know? But when you're in front of somebody, it's hard to do that. You know what I mean? Not for me. I have no problem. I have no problem with the rest of his face telling him what the deal is. But I like it. And I also like the fact that Hillary sat there like just a frozen pop, you know, just with this mean scowl on. And only one time, you know, the paparazzi and whatever they are, the photographers, are sitting there focused, waiting for everybody. You're firing off, you know, 12, 14, 15 frames per second. They got really high-speed cameras. Maybe even more. They want that look. And then they got it. It was that one occasion where Hillary, just without turning her head, shifted her eyes and looked at Trump like, ready to eat his brains. And Bill Clinton, he was kind of sitting there when everybody was shaking each other's hand, and, you know, Melania was there, and the Obamas, and they're all shaking each other's hands. Bill kept looking over like, come on, man. I want to play too. And then Hillary's kind of like, you know, you could sense that he just felt that presence, you know. For whatever reason, whatever Hillary Clinton has on Bill Clinton, he is not going to cross that. He hasn't, he won't. You know what I mean? But it was just kind of funny because he was like looking over like some kid wanted to go play. I want to go play. No, you just sit there, you horny bastard. You're not going anywhere. The best thing was that it was at a Bush funeral. That's the underlying whole thing, man. There's all this love going on. And you're putting Bush in the ground. I'm no fan of Bush. You know, that whole family should have been waxed a long time ago. And I mean that in the political sense, you know? You don't let people, dynasties and all that form, and these are civil servants. You don't honor them as kings or queens and nothing like that. They're people that went in to represent you. If they did a good job, more power to them. I love it. They don't do a good job, you suck, I don't want to see you again. And then there was nothing nice to say about Bush. I think I covered that last week. But, you know, I also want to talk about, we got a lot to talk about because there's a lot. There's so much news every day. There's just too much to cover. But I want to talk about robots and how you had this robot attack this guy in China, right, putting all these huge 16-inch spikes all through his body, you know. And they're trying to save the guy's life. But it's weird because there's a gray area there, and as an investigator, I like kind of being ready for what's to come, you know, especially with the kind of court action. What if somebody has a robot, a service robot, or some kind of maintenance robot, and ends up killing somebody? So you don't get charged with murder, but you can get charged, you know, in wrongful death and that type of thing, and, you know, it'll be a civil matter. But what if somebody programs the robot to kill somebody, right? And that's a whole weird thing. Because one, you got to prove it. You got to prove that program happened. Now you have a lot of programs that can, like, be written and be erased, and there's no trace of it these days. So I think that that's interesting in and of itself. So I talked about a story a long time ago, in 2009, about a Swedish factory worker that got killed by a robot, you know. So this is the deal. It wasn't fatal. He didn't get killed. This one, there was another guy got killed. He was a Swedish factory worker in Germany, and he actually got killed, crushed by the robot. And he was trying to reason with the robot, and the robot ended up crushing him anyway. But this guy got crushed also, and, like, he lost the use of his legs and all kinds of stuff. So there, they only got fined $3,000 for the factory got fined $3,000 for this whole thing. $3,000. But what if you work in a factory and, like, let's say you have a a lot of robots in factories. Let's say now, this is 2009 now, you have a ton of robots in factories, right? And a lot of jealous people who work together who may not be, so into you getting the promotion that they want. Yeah, there's evil people in the world. I'm going to say that. So what if one of these people program a robot to, put a bunch of spikes to your body or to crush you to death and that type of thing, and you'd never know about it? You have to be a real great investigator to go in there and go through that electronic forensics, to understand what led up to that. Then you get Russia. Now, Russia revealed, this is Russian technology at its best, right? And you have to be in awe of Russian technology, let me tell you, because they make the best of the best. I'm going to say that. So here's the headline. A Russian robot. Let me get this. A Russian robot named Boris, hailed as high tech on state TV, and they also pushed it around the world. Look at Boris the robot, can do all these things, because we've seen, DARPA, and you go on YouTube, you can see all the robots on there as they're developing. They can do backflips now and climb and go run 75 miles an hour. You can't even knock them over and that type of thing. Pretty damn scary. So Rush comes out with Boris, this dude who is the high-tech guy, but now they unmasked him as a man in a suit. So for Russia to stand up and lie to the whole world and say, hey, look at our technology. This robot was dancing. It was moving to the grooving. It was jamming. It turns out it's like C-3PO, man. There's a dude in a suit, a Russian dude. So talk about embarrassing for Russia. And this is how they advertise their high tech, because they're going to be the best of the best of the best. All these people, China, the United States. The United States actually spends enough money to be the best of the best of the best. Our budget for the military is not even anywhere near anybody else's. You'd have to take Russia, China, all that, 13 countries, and put all their budgets together, even to come close to a small percentage of the budget, what we spend on the military every year, not including all those black projects, right? The stuff that we develop behind doors, closed doors. So I think that we're doomed. I think the robots are going to get tired of us and crush all of us to death. And I think that you're going to have people out there that will do that. That'll be that crazy to just be that factory worker that can control that robot, man. I know in South Korea, they have these plants, where they make cars, and these robots are like, they look like real people. They have these huge arms, they can lift the car and kind of rah, rah, rah. You got these little puny people walking around. A robot, it's going to be like, see you later. I was having a thermostat installed in my car yesterday, and I had to have some stuff done, muffler, that type of thing, that kind of service. And I'm thinking, I'm watching these dudes in there, they're bopping around, kind of wasting time, where they could be on the car, they screw around. They got a little camaraderie going on. People do at work, that type of thing. But I'm thinking a robot would be much nicer, And imagine a robot's working 24 hours a day, doesn't even care. Doesn't care about holidays, doesn't have any kind of family events, grandmother died, something like that to cover. No, they don't get sick. They don't have to worry. If they break down, a technician comes in, replaces the thing, and robot back up again in no time, right? A robot could take a wheel off a car. A robot could put a muffler on a car. A robot could do all kinds of stuff. I'm saying is that there's times where I actually prefer a robot to a person, like the deli counter. I go to the deli counter, right, and I want some turkey breast. So I say, okay, I want to get a half a pound. First of all, they got like 9 different types of turkey breast, and you got to describe every last one of them so they know. You can't just say turkey breast to the person behind the counter, because that doesn't register on their brain. You got to say like the oven golden roasted turkey breast, or the jalapeno loaded turkey breast, whatever that was. Buffalo turkey breast. So I order the turkey breast. Give me the oven golden roasted baby. I want that basted bastard. And okay, you tell them what it is. Now give me a pound. And every time I'm in there, I get a pound or anything. I never say half a pound. It's not even like It's not even comfortable for me to say. I said, pound. Give me a pound. The guy's like, oh, it's all right, dude. I want 1 pound of golden roasted, basted turkey breast. Okay. The guy saunters off, looks around, confused, maybe, whatever. Looks for his rubber gloves, puts them on, walks back, looks around more. Then he finds turkey breast. What was that you wanted? All right. Oven, golden, roasted, basted turkey breast. Okay. How much did you want? 1 pound. Okay. The guy goes to the thing. He's got to clean it a little bit, move things around and whatever. He looks at the tag to put the price in on the scale. How much did you want? 1 pound. Okay. The golden, roasted, basted turkey breast. Yeah. Okay. It's like dealing with freaking NASA, you know, and doing this check before you blast off your rockets. You know what I mean? Like, you gotta keep going back and forth with this monotonous talk. Just give me a goddamn pound of turkey breast, dude. Why does it have to be a hassle, you know? It should just be numbered anyway. Hey, give me a pound of number 14. Yeah, that's easy. I'm sit there wasting all my breath. Talk about that's global warming right there. A hot air going out asking for golden roasted basted turkey breast. And then the guy just doesn't understand. And that's when it's not even busy. Try doing that when it's busy. And there's other things that kind of interfere in their realm of attention, right? So they start looking around and really not paying attention. They're like some kind of attention deficit deli thing. And then I always say all the time, the same thing. One day, there's going to be a robot doing this. And I'm going to hit, you know, 1 pound number 13, just like that. Two buttons, boop, boop, maybe three, boop, boop, boop. And then the computer will probably have some nice banter. Hello. Hello, chef, like nice, sexy voice. Hello, how are you? Enjoy your meat. Yeah? Yeah. That's what I want. Robot service, you know? Not this, oh, what? I don't need that kind of banter in my life of going back and forth, talking about what I want a pound of. God forbid if you need a pound of something else. You'd be there all day, you know? So I can see where the robots come into play. You know, I can see how then you have these workers who are like, oh, they're going to take my job. And let's face it, you know, it's not like they're doing a service you can't do without if the robot did it. You know what I mean? And those people can move on to better things, man. Maybe they can move on to whatever. Whatever their future is. Maybe they can be fixing those robots, right? I doubt it. You know, because they're going to get robots to fix robots at some point. They already have, like, computers, you know, software, writing software. You have all these people graduating, millions of them. Look at China, India, United States, you know, UK, Australia. You know, all these people graduating as these writers to write code. Then you have, they're not even catching up to where technology is, where technology is starting to write itself and do its own thing. You know, they even have like these AI reporters, these CG reporters making up the news and that type of thing. So it's literally turning into that kind of world, you know, and if you reject it, you can't, because they're making it so you are part of that system no matter what. You know, Sweden is moving towards a cashless society, so they want to use a card. They want to track everything that you do. No cash, you know, but they can already track cash. And the banks, you know, when the bank gives you that money, no matter who the receiver is, all those codes, all those numbers on those banknotes, you know, the serial numbers get noted. They go right through a system, right through a computer. They know exactly how much you took out. They know what bills you have. And then if those bills end up in somebody else's hand, and at some point when they turn it in or cash it in or they give it to a store to buy something, and that store goes back to a bank, and they run that money, and they have like this little system following stuff. It's crazy, right? It's crazy that they spend money doing that stuff to begin with, because it's our money they're spending to spy on us. And it's all about Everyone's a suspect, you know, because that's what it is. And then it's supposed to be under the Constitution that unless you're charged with something and you are not some suspect, you are not to be accused of things for not doing anything. But when they put you under surveillance, they're saying you're some kind of suspect. So this is going on all over the world. And then people are losing their privacy every day. I don't even know if there's much privacy left. You know, as an investigator, a private investigator, I could find anything about anybody, anytime, anywhere. You know, pretty much it doesn't take much digging to track people and know where they are and what they do and what they buy and don't buy, whatever. Life to me is much more simple than that. And I like using cash for purchases no matter what. It's harder for people to track that. And it's not even that I'm trying to hide something. It's because I don't want people to know my damn business. You know, none of their damn business. You know, the Facebook program that people use through your little smartphone is actually predicting where you're going to go up to a couple weeks ahead, 3-4. Now, with me, it's easy. I go from my office to the kitchen, back to my office again, to the kitchen, living room, to the chair, outside, feed the birds, back to my office, back to the kitchen. And then that's pretty much, sometimes I drive the car. Sometimes I go out, go make my rounds. But it's amazing. If someone was to come to you and show you, I mean, because there's people that are like, well, I don't care or whatever, and they're tracking me. It's easy to say that for some people, but all people out there, every last one of you, if I came to you with this printout of everything you've done for the past year and the places you've gone, how much time you spent there, how much money you spent there, what you purchased, what you saw, what you didn't see, what you didn't want to see or whatever, not just that, but then an analysis and psychological breakdown of your movements, patterns, cycles, and everything that you do, I don't think you'd appreciate it, you know? I think that you would feel like it's an invasion. You know what I mean? I remember the dude that came to my door trying to sell me a photograph of my house from an airplane. And I'm thinking, I felt like, you know what? A lot of people wouldn't have a problem, but I felt like it was an invasion. And I know it's an airplane, it's a house. Yeah, you can store kinds of stuff. It's not hiding. I don't have camouflage covering it yet. Not yet. It's not invisible yet. But I'm working on those goals. But you feel like, now who are you to come around and try to sell me a picture of my house? Yeah. Do it with a drone. Do it with a drone. If I want some aerial view of the house, why would I want that to do it? It just makes you think. And now, that's nothing compared to all this other stuff of tracking people and, you know, understanding their movements and that type of thing. And I'll tell you, they use it in court. There's ways of getting that kind of information. And those I talked about electronic forensics. That's what that is, you know. And I had a big discussion the other day about this whole thing, about, you know, evidence, and how they're using electronics, you know, forensics more and more, tracking cell phones, tracking computer movements and things like that, you know, what you look at, what you do, where you go. And they're trying to use it against people. You know, there's the best example I understood was a Shoppers Club card, right, in the local store here. The guy told me the story. So this older gentleman, you know, was in the store shopping, buying his groceries and that type of thing. And then they were mopping the floor at the time. The floor was still wet. There was no signage up saying the floor was wet. This guy slips, falls down, and really gets hurt, you know, when the elderly. You know, the older you get, the harder you fall, the longer it takes for you to heal. It's that simple. So this guy fell. He broke his hip and really hurt himself, you know, really mangled himself. And, you know, his intention was to sue the store for his medical bills and whatever he needed, that type of thing. And I understand that it wasn't out of the realm of reasonable what the guy wanted and what he suffered through. For the store's negligence, let's say, right? It was their negligence. And I deal, the business I'm in, I deal in liability, okay? So in court, the store's attorney pulls out the guy's Shoppers Club card records of what his purchases were over time. And he said, well, he frequently comes in and buys beer. And, you know, basically trying to paint the story that the guy was somehow intoxicated, not in control of himself. This is what they suggested, that he was intoxicated, not in control of himself, and then he fell. You know, didn't matter that there was water there, that he just fell and mangled himself because he was drunk. Turns out he wasn't drunk, and he had a blood test and all that other stuff. And, you know, it turns out that the lawyer was just, you know, full of crap, another full of crap lawyer, you know, pushing for a corporation, trying to not take, you know, the responsibility of the actions of their employees and the stuff that they do. Okay. But that just gives you a glimmer in the world of privacy and your purchases and what should remain private. It's none of anyone's damn business. Just like you see all these stores getting smashed, right? And when I say smashed, it's a term for hackers hacking in, stealing a bunch of information. Systems getting smashed, they get in, right? All these, there's hotels, there's, you know, all kinds of stores. Home Depot got hit and a lot of places over the years, especially. So these businesses at point of purchase, when you pull out your credit card and you pay for something, these businesses keep those records on file. And they keep them on file for years, sometimes 4, 5, 6 years, you know, even longer. Some, with data and how cheap it is to store things these days, it's safe to say that some of these records are on there and they're inevitable. And you can look, you know, if you're interested, you can go onto the company's website and look at their IT statement and how long they actually hold this information, right? But why? Why bother holding this information? That your name, your address, your credit card number, even passwords and things like that, things that you need that, you know, to make that purchase that the store requires. So that's a huge problem. When they get smashed, you lose your information, somebody builds a profile on you, they take credit out of your name, and all kinds of bad things can happen. Once you have an identity theft, it is a nightmare. It's a nightmare. And then you know what they do? They edge you into LifeLock, or one of those companies that promise that they'll monitor everything you purchase, everything you buy. So then you're paying a company to check everything out that you do, and maybe even stop a purchase. Because if they think the purchase is bad, they'll put a stop to it. But it shouldn't be like that. Number one, the bank should be doing that for you on certain things and looking for weird activity, right? Number two, you should be checking your own statement all the time anyway and your own credit report a few times a year. Number three, when you get hit and you lose your information to one of these companies, you shouldn't have to pay some company like that. They should be doing something like that for you and checking out your check. Like I said, checking out any strange purchases for you. You know, there are credit card companies that will do that, like American Express will do that, which is a good service. But these people get taken advantage of because they have weak security. And then these hackers spend all the day long, all they do, day and night, there are these hacking rooms in North Korea and India, United States of America, all over. All they do, that's their business. They go to work like a job. They go in there and they try to hack into systems, is what they do. So you are at risk of losing the rest of your privacy. And then you have, you know, wow, you got governmental agencies wanting to know, you know, what the hell you look at on the internet, what your ideas are, you know, and then people are happy to give it up, right? And they're keeping these profiles on people. So it's wrong to do, you know, and it's against your constitutional rights. To me, it's an intrusion on your privacy, and it's basically illegal search and seizure. It's basically going in to your person, no matter what your device is, and knowing everything about you, right? Knowing everything about that you put in there anyway, because you certainly don't have to put everything about yourself into anything, you know? And if you're careful and you're weary and you understand what you're dealing with, you're not going to put yourself at risk like a lot of people do. A lot of people get lazy. They don't want to think about their personal security online. They don't want to think about their personal security around their house either, you know? So, but there's things that you need to think about because you can't trust the world to do it for you. And it's that simple, man. So I think that people are still in trouble, man, and there's that cycle that's coming back around again. It seems like it's going faster now, this cycle of terrible events, right? It seems like it's going faster, like it's got a higher rhythm, you know, it picked up speed, it accelerated somehow. And then no matter what they are, no matter these unbelievably huge earthquakes, right, that just shake and rattle and roll, and it's all part of nature, you know? There's not much you can do. You're not going to stop an earthquake, right? We don't have technology yet to do anything like that, you know? So you just have to be weary of those things. Those things you can't control. Terrorists, you can control, you know, especially people under surveillance. So during this holiday season, be aware. Don't be paranoid, but be aware. If you see something out of place wrong, if you feel something wrong, report it. Doesn't hurt. You know, it doesn't hurt. Well, as long as you're not reporting everybody you see that you think is suspicious. But it's important that people look out for each other in this world. That's all we have. You know, that's all we have. And then you don't look at other people as their enemy. You got to look at people like they're your friends. Because if we're all together on the same page, that we all want security for ourselves, we want to be safe, you want your kids to be safe and that type of thing, then I think certainly we can come to terms on getting rid of some terrorists, right, and putting criminals in their place so people are safer in their neighborhoods, safer in their towns, safer in their states, and safer in their countries, right? I'm going to end it there. This is Michael Angley on Michael Angley Live on United Public Radio Network, UPRNTalkRadio.com, 107.5 New Orleans, 104.7 in Paz Christian, saying adios.
Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive number one, number two employee. Leave a message at the...
Hey, Jamie, it's me, Jamie. This is your daily pep talk. I know it's been rough going ever since people found out about your a cappella group, Mad Harmony, but you will bounce back. I mean, you're the guy always helping people find coverage options with the Name Your Price tool. It should be you giving me the pep talk. Now get out there, hit that high note, and take Mad Harmony all the way to nationals this year! Sorry, it's pitchy.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What if every time you went out, you could cash in? Now with the Capital One Saver Card, you earn 4% cash back on dining and entertainment. Like learning more about each other on your first date.
You play the oboe.
Or discovering they can't hit the high notes at your favorite karaoke bar.
Oh, yeah!
No matter your reason for going out, now you have four more. Introducing the new Saver Card from Capital One. Earn 4% on dining and 4% on entertainment. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. Capital One Bank, USANA.